We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Division games, you got to win them. We know our record this year in them. It's not easy going on the road and playing in division games. We got to understand that and be ready for, again, a hostile environment. So that's why this week of practice is so important for us to establish a game plan that we feel comfortable with. So, you know, come Thursday night, we can kind of play freely and be ready for that. So you got to win your division games.
Last couple weeks, Bills have had some adversity to deal with. The injury to Allen, the illness going through the locker room, a couple of practices had to be limited because so many guys were out. This week looks like pretty much a full week of practice and a healthier roster. So good news for the Bills heading into their matchup with the Patriots tomorrow night from Gillette. And it'll be Bills and Patriots on Amazon Prime and locally on Channel 7. And, of course, here on WGR. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on a Wednesday, going to the Wester Hotline to talk to Chris Price of the Boston Globe and the Believe Podcast Network. Chris, good morning. Thanks for taking some time this morning to preview the game.
My pleasure, guys. How are you doing?
We're okay. The Bills are, to some level, doing what they did last year, which was, as the favorite, fall behind and see if they can come from behind in the division and pass the team that's ahead of them. Last year, that was New England. This year, that is Miami. And three straight division games for the Bills await, the first one against New England. So how is this New England team this year? 6-5, but that's also fourth in the division. Are they good? Are they satisfied? Are they satisfying to watch? What is the big picture on New England as they sit right now?
Well, they're a tough team to get a handle on because a lot of the things that we saw from this team over the first 8 or 9 games, they kind of flipped the script. Last week against the Vikings, the defense had played very, very well over the course of the first, again, 8 or 9 weeks, and they struggled on offense, whether it was Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe. Last week against the Vikings, all of a sudden, they played really well on offense and the defense struggled. And they had major special teams issues, giving up the run back and taking the penalty on the roughing the punter in an awfully bad situation. So it's been interesting. I'll say this, at the very least, it's been interesting. This is a team that I think can be competitive down the stretch, but I think a lot of their fortunes, when you're talking about the playoff picture and their playoff hopes in a 10 or 11 win season, rest on this game against the Bills. They have two winnable games out west after this one, and if you beat the Bills, you figure out a way to beat Josh Allen and the Bills. Then you go out west, you face the Cardinals and the Raiders, and then you can see a path to 9-5, and then maybe there's 10 wins and there's a playoff spot. They don't beat the Bills, it's going to be awful dicey for them moving forward.
When it comes to the defense, let's start there. Last year, we knew New England had a great defense, and the Bills offense had their way with this unit. I saw a question maybe to Gerard Mayo about, did they take it personally that there were no punts in either of these two games, the last two matchups, the playoff game and the game up there at in New England? So what's different about this version of the Patriots defense as compared to previous seasons?
They're a little younger and faster. And I think everyone in New England really clearly understood that, you know, the days of that defense, the bigger linebackers had really kind of passed them by. So I think one of their primary goals this offseason was to get younger and faster, specifically the linebacker position. While they didn't go out and completely overhaul the linebacker position, they leaned into the idea of getting kind of these oversized safeties, these Jabril Peppers, Adrian Phillips types of players, those guys are really playing well this year for them. Kyle Duggar is a guy who's absolutely invaluable to what they want to get done defensively. He's had a very good year. They do have younger linebackers, Raekwon McMillan, Mack Wilson, Josh Uche, who are playing well. But again, they've kind of leaned into this idea of getting these bigger safety types who are able to defend against the run but can also work in pass coverage. And they've also gotten a really good performance out of the guys in their secondary, you know, the other guys in their secondary as well. Rookie Jack Jones has played very, very well. Jonathan Jones has moved from being a slot corner to being, you know, arguably one of your number one or one of the best corners in the league on the outside. So they've made some changes, and I think they've gotten better. All of that is in really kind of in combination with Matthew Judon and Dietrich Wise having very, very good years off the edge. Judon is one of, I think he's still one of the league leaders in sacks. He's doing a good job generating consistent pressure. Wise is also doing a good job on the other end. So it's all kind of coming together for them on the defensive side of the ball.
Chris Price on the Wester Hotline. How about on the offensive side of the football? Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator, Mac Jones' numbers going down a little bit. How has the season progressed? Last week it looked better, right, against Minnesota, and everyone around the country saw that. But what about on the overall? Has this still been a disappointing year offensively for the Patriots?
Yeah, it's been, I don't want to say it's a disappointing year, it's been inconsistent for them, because there have been flashes of really good play over the course of the year. So I think ultimately I would call it inconsistent for them. And I think some of that goes back to Mac, some of that goes back to the idea of maybe they weren't completely prepared to kind of overhaul the offense a little bit. A lot of that goes back to the health and wellness of the offensive line. They've been missing David Andrews, you know, for a handful of games, whether it's the thigh issue or the concussion. And I think some of those problems start there. One of the things we saw last week against the Vikings, Mac was a lot faster when it came to getting the ball out. And I think that played a role in kind of keeping pressure off of him over the course of the game. I wouldn't be surprised to see more of that moving forward. That's not to say they're not going to take the deep shot every so often when it's there, but I think Mac's focus is now about getting the ball out a lot quicker than maybe he was earlier in the season.
Chris Price on the Wester Hotline. I've, you know, seeing some numbers on the Patriots, we had Joe Marino of the Draft Network. He talk about the Patriots when they have to get into shootouts, that when they need to score 25 or more in the Mac Jones era, they are winless. That that Vikings game would have been a tough one. I saw Mac walking off the field really upset. He played great, and they ultimately fall short. Is there any sort of I don't know, formula like that, where the Patriots are trying to keep games from getting to those high-scoring shootouts because they just don't have the margin of error on the offensive side?
Yeah, I agree completely. This team is not built to win shootouts consistently. You know, there could be a one-off here or there, like we saw last week in the Vikings, where they were competitive. But the goal of this team, and I would say that the primary goal of this team going into the Buffalo game, is to play good complementary football. And that means running the football, controlling the tempo, controlling the clock. The old joke around here used to be the best way to beat Tom Brady was to keep Tom Brady off the field. And I think by extension, you could argue that's the same thing with Josh Allen here. If the Patriots are able to put steady, consistent 8, 9, 10 play drives together using Ramondre Stevenson, using that short and intermediate passing game, that's the best course of action going into this game. They're not going to win a game in the 30s against the Bills. They need to keep it in the teens or the 20s if they want to have a chance in this one.
When it comes to Josh Allen, what was the offseason conversation like? I mean, you know, for the Bills, it was, for us, it was 13 seconds and what happened in their final game. New England's final game last year was that playoff game, which was, you know, it was a blowout. So were there big changes to come of it? Like you said, they wanted to make their defense faster and kind of change away from the big linebackers. I guess what I'm asking is, like, what was the conversation around Josh Allen and trying to keep up with a Bills offense that has a quarterback, of course, of this caliber?
Well, you start by making him punt at least once. and that's a victory for New England, I think, on Thursday. If they can get the Bills to punt at least once, then they've made some steps in the right direction. Look, I compare the Josh Allen, Bill Belichick, you know, head-to-head, like a pitcher going through the, you know, going through the lineup multiple times. Bill had him, you know, Bill had his number when he was younger. Josh was able to kind of figure things out and execute and make plays and really do a great job those last two games, that last, you know, the late in the regular season into the playoffs. Now what Bill has to do is to adjust. He has to make the adjustments to what, you know, to figure out a way to slow Josh down. I think one of the things that we saw was, you know, in that December game up in Buffalo, you know, we talk about being able to keep Josh Allen off the field. I think that's the primary goal for the Patriots. I think this is a team, again, that's built to slow the game down, that's built to run the football. Stevenson, look, an awful lot is going to be on his shoulders this game because it's our understanding that Damien Harris is going to be out. So, you know, he's a guy who is going to have a primary role in this offense. And if they can get him going, if they can get that run game going, if they can control the tempo, if they can control the clock, that's going to be the best way to get Josh Allen, to render Josh Allen ineffective in this one. So, I think that, in at least in theory, is the idea. It's another matter if they can kind of execute it.
What's the tone surrounding Bill Belichick this season and going forward? Is the goodwill just so much of it is built up that he's the king of the hill and no matter what he does will turn to gold still? Or, I don't know, when things don't go wrong, if there's a bad game, this might be more a question about what the fan base is like. Is there finger-pointing at Belichick?
No, right now it's all finger-pointing at Matt Patricia, honestly. And maybe some of that is, by extension, finger-pointing at Belichick for putting Matt Patricia in that situation. Look, every single game is a referendum on Matt Patricia's play-calling abilities. Win, lose, whatever the case may be. I think that there's still an awful lot of goodwill around Bill, and I think this recent win streak that was stopped, in the Minnesota game, I think has kind of fostered that. Look, if they really, the bottom line is, this is a team that's used to getting to the playoffs. And this is a fan base that's used to January football. And if they can continue to take that step forward, whether it's winning a playoff game, appearing in the playoffs this year, winning a playoff game, kind of keeping that momentum moving forward that was generated last year in Mac's rookie year by getting them to the postseason, then that will be seen as a win, I think, by this fan base.
Chris Price, Boston Globe, and the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks very much, Chris, for the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
My pleasure, guys. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Thanks,
Chris Price, Boston Globe. I'm looking at some numbers. Look at the over-unders.
Okay.
On rushing yards. Ready, you want some?
Yeah, sure. I was looking at some Mac Jones numbers, too, okay. So I'll throw those in after.
Ramondre Stevenson's prop, his over-under for this game. What do you think his over-under for rushing yards in this game is?
63.5.
61.5.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Devin Singletary's over-under for rushing yards in this game.
42.5.
51.5.
Really? Okay. Yes.
And Josh Allen's rushing yards over-under in this game.
Ooh, what is this number, Ben? I don't even think I've looked at this number in a while. 50. 50.5.
41.
Okay.
I wonder about
41. The Patriots, still high.
The Patriots play a lot of man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pretty good at it. I saw some of the numbers on the screen that the Patriots are the quarterback rating against whatever when they play man coverage, they're the third best. And the Bills are second best against man coverage. And last time they played there, that's how they won the game. They played man the whole game, and McKenzie beat their slot corner the whole day for 100 yards. That's how they won. And the thing I guess I wonder about this matchup, Joe, is it just another McKenzie game? Is James Cook in the mix for this? Is Nyheim Hines in the mix for this? Where are my guys that are beating man coverage? Diggs, of course, has had great success against J.C. Jackson. He's not there anymore.
Right.
So maybe it's Jonathan Jones. Maybe it's Jack Jones. The young guy who's covering Gabe Davis. I mean, like,
McKenzie theoretically should be. I mean, you heard Joe Marino last hour. Like, McKenzie's skill set as a slot receiver is you man him up and he's going to run you deep and he's going to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, like, Gabe Davis is better in man, I think, than he is against zone. I don't know. I feel like all of the Bills receivers feel like they're better in man than they are against zone coverage. But they also don't have a guy I think of as just technician, always getting open, route running skill set behind Diggs.
No.
Like McKenzie, it's just speed, and Davis, it's just that he runs down the field, I guess, and maybe you have more broken coverages that way.
Yeah, you might. The Patriots have played man against the Bills and been eaten up.
Yeah.
You might wonder if this time around they think we can do it this time because they don't have the man beaters the way that they used to with Beasley's, the depth of man beaters.
Sure.
So maybe that means it's a Diggs game. Diggs over under on receiving yards.
Not that one? 90.5.
I'll pull it back up. I closed it accidentally. It was
gotta be high.
Let me see. It was Stephon Diggs over under on receiving yards, 84.5.
I would be on the over on that. I think he's playing at such a high level right now. He leads the league in targets. That earlier in the week when we talked about Dorsey, that is almost made up for statistically the lack of a number two. Is that from last year to this year, Diggs' production has gone way up, way up. And there maybe was some injury stuff with Diggs last year, but him and Allen are still, I mean, the last two games, I guess, they're not crushing teams, right? Like, they have the big throw against the Lions, but he had, like, 29 yards before that final throw. And the Browns game, he doesn't have a target until the late in the second quarter. So, I mean, that's their play. That's their number one play on this offense is Diggs. And whatever route concept it is, the touchdown he scores against the Lions, just he is so good, and he's so good against man. Matt Harmon from Yahoo has been saying for like 5 years that he's the best receiver in football against man coverage. And the Patriots historically play man coverage. It feels like a great matchup for the Bills every time they play them.
Yeah. Has a bit of a, it's not Saturday, but the week in football has a separation Saturday kind of thing. Where
yeah.
Bills, Patriots, I mean, Chris Price there mentioning how big it is for New England. If they think they're going to do anything, they got to win this game.
Yeah.
Big for the Bills. Then Chiefs and Bengals and Dolphins and 49ers.
Yeah.
Like the biggest four teams in the AFC in Baltimore. Who's Baltimore play this week?
Baltimore has
Denver. They play Denver.
Denver.
They should beat Denver, but
they have weird. Did you see the stat on them earlier?
Who, Denver?
No, Baltimore. They've lost three games when leading by more than one score.
Yeah. They are good. They haven't closed games. One thing about Denver I saw, I think they're 11 games into the season.
Yeah.
Under on Denver is 10-1.
And the under hasn't been high. It was like 37 last week.
Yep. 23-3 was the final, right?
Yeah.
Or 23-10. Maybe they scored a touchdown late.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Their last drive. That is so bad. 10-1 on the under. So Mac Jones numbers I was just looking at while we had Chris Price on. He's got some decent underlying numbers. A lot of them are completion percentage, but he's number 10 in the NFL in yards per attempt at 7.6, Mac Jones. He is number 4 in the league in red zone completion percentage. He's number 6 in the league in completion percentage from a clean pocket. Now, what we heard from Joe Marino last hour, too, was he's horrible from a pressured situation, and that is correct. When he is pressured, he is 23rd. So, but otherwise, like 11th in deep ball completion percentage, expected points added, he's a little bit higher. Some of his underlying numbers are not that bad. Again, a lot of them are completion percentage, so it could be shorter.
I was going to say, like, here's one where completion percentage would fool you. You said he's 4th in the red zone in completion percentage.
Yep.
The Patriots are only better than Denver in the red zone.
Really? Okay.
31st.
So, you know, the air yards per attempt is 19th, so that actually speaks to that a little bit. Is that a product of his situation? Like, how much of Mac Jones' struggles this year is just Matt Patricia is his play caller, and Devontae Parker is his number one wide receiver. Really, Jacoby Myers is his number one wide receiver. I feel like he's fine. He's a game manager guy that in a right situation would probably be pretty good. Had San Francisco drafted him like maybe Kyle Shanahan wanted last year, he'd probably be really good. And this is the state of maybe quarterback in the league with a lot of guys. You go to that system and those receivers and that coordinator, and now you have more interceptions than touchdowns. So I don't think Mac Jones is horrible. I don't think he's great. I just think that he's one of those guys where he's going to be as good as his surroundings.
Yeah, he's 3rd on the quarterback rankings in the division.
Not 4th? Not putting Mike White above him just yet?
Not yet. I mean, the Bills got, last time the Bills played Mike White, they got 4 picks.
He's definitely 3rd.
Definitely 3rd.
He's their quarterback next year?
Mac? Probably, yeah.
If I did bet it or forget it, you would say bet it.
I would say bet it. He gets another year.
Okay. We don't know how Belichick operates in that situation.
That's right.
I mean, this is good. That would be year 3 after a year 2 regression in a big way. And Belichick's age, got to keep mentioning here, 71 in a job where nobody coaches that long. So timeline might matter to that. Also, their cap structure is set up so that they should be winning right now. So I don't know. It depends what's going to be out there. But I think I would lean yes that he'll be back as well.
803-0550 to join us. It's a Wednesday. Tomorrow's December 1st.
First day of winter.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, you know. You operate with meteorological seasons like you should on Earth, then yes, it's the first day of winter.
Couldn't you say that the first day of winter was when there was 12 feet of snow on the ground 2 weeks ago?
Nah, not really.
That's fall?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. If it were 80 degrees tomorrow, you don't just get to say, well, that's the first day of summer.
You know, right. Okay, fair.
It's just warm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who plays in the World Cup today? We got any barn burners?
So we have a very interesting day coming in group. Is it Group G?
Group D and Group C both play today, and so does Group F.
Yeah.
Canada's already out. Canada, Morocco.
So Mexico plays against
Saudi Arabia
a little bit later on. Argentina plays Poland, and Argentina is not through.
Right.
They are one of the big favorites in this tournament that lost to Saudi Arabia, crushes them, and now they need a result against Poland, who's the next best team in their group, to get through. I think they need a draw and maybe help. Yeah, because Saudi Arabia has 3 points. So does Argentina. Mexico has one. So all four teams are still alive.
Yeah, Mexico could win, and if Argentina loses, Mexico is through.
Correct.
So a Mexico win and a Poland win, and they get through.
Or they'd have, I mean, they could make it up on goal differential on Poland, but they'd have to win by like four at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of those teams are alive, so that's Group C. That is super interesting. And I asked Nick on this earlier, Nick Mendola. Didn't really want to bite on it, and I think that's probably the fair response on Lionel Messi. But I don't know. I've listened to a couple podcasts, and I've seen some stuff on Twitter and read some articles that there is a little bit of legacy on the line for Messi in that he's just had no real international success with a very good program in Argentina that has talent.
But tell me how it's any different than Ovechkin.
It's probably not that different than Ovechkin. Other than Ovechkin, well, he won the cup.
He finally did. And if he hadn't done it, would it have been his fault?
No.
Right? Like,
no, not at all.
I think in certain sports, we do this the most with quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have, of course, a crazy effect on how far a team goes.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to think about pitchers. If you're a starting pitcher and never won the World Series, like I only pitch once every four games. You know, like,
yeah.
How much can I do? Soccer, you're one of 11 on the field. Ovechkin, you're one of 12 forwards. You get limited shifts, of course. But, like, how much should legacy be tied to one soccer player,
right,
who is on an international team where no one would suggest that Argentina is, you know, 1 through 11 and past that is as good as Brazil or is as good as
Spain,
Germany,
or France.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not also like they're, you know, they're not the U.S., they're not like, without Messi, they're middle of the pack team. Like they're still a very talented group. They've had players that forever that are always at the big clubs, Barcelona, Real Madrid. So I get that. I don't think much of it should, but you hear it, and I think it will be thought of. Both of these guys, Cristiano Ronaldo too, as they're two of the greatest soccer players of all time. Maybe they are the two greatest soccer players of all time. And they really have not had much success in the biggest soccer tournament in the world.
Do you know the story of how Messi came to play for Argentina?
No. What do you mean? For Argentina?
Yeah.
Not even... No. I mean, he was born there, wasn't he?
He was. He was eligible to play for both Argentina and Spain.
Okay, because he would have been a citizen. Oh, right, because he goes to Barcelona as a kid.
Spain's under 17. I'm reading from Wikipedia. My wife told me this story. She heard a podcast on it, and I don't know exactly where that was. So I'll tell you the Wikipedia version of this. He was eligible for both Argentina and Spain from Wikipedia. Spain's under 17 squad began pursuing him after Barcelona's director of football reached out. Messi declined, having aspired to play for Argentina since childhood. And to prevent Spain from taking him, the Argentina Football Association organized two friendlies in June of 2004, one against Paraguay and one against Uruguay, with the purpose of finalizing his status as an Argentine player. So it's 5 days after his 17th birthday, he made his debut against Paraguay, scoring once, two assists. He was included in the squad.
Okay. So they almost they organized the games just to solidify it that he's eligible, that he's now
eligible. Yes, and part of the story is that the game was supposed to just be a regular game, but the way that you finalize someone's standing with the country is you sell tickets to that game, and they sold like only a couple tickets, and it became an official event, and he was with Argentina, and you can't go back. Once you play at a ticketed event for your country, for a country, it becomes that's who you're going to play for.
Wow, I did not know that. So if there was nobody in the crowd, if they had not sold tickets, like not picked up on that, then he would have been eligible to play for Spain.
Yeah, and Spain was lobbying to try and get him, and he chose Argentina. So here's a point about his legacy, right?
Yeah.
What if he picked Spain?
He would have won a World Cup.
Maybe. They did win a World Cup.
They did win a World Cup. Like, it's hard to imagine they wouldn't have because he was on the team.
Right.
So, I mean, he makes that choice, but he's,
Shouldn't making that choice be part of the legacy? He followed a stream from, you know, there's...
In a good way, you're saying.
Something, yeah, yes.
Right.
Yes. He took the bigger challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that was closer to his heart.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about Ovechkin with his draft year?
I think so. Which one are you referencing?
How the Panthers tried to draft him with a 7th-round pick the year before?
No, I do not know this. Whoa. That's what happened with Pavel Bure. The Canucks drafted Pavel Bure in like the 8th round, and the rest of the league was furious because they didn't think he was draft eligible.
Yeah.
They didn't know. They thought it was the next year. So they tried to draft Ovechkin in the late in the draft and obviously got denied.
Yes, they he was so highly regarded. They drafted him in the ninth round of the 2003 draft. His birthday was 2 days after the cutoff.
Uh-huh.
And the Panthers drafted him in the 9th round and tried to argue that because of leap years, those 2 days should count and he should be eligible.
So they just try. Like, you know what? It's the 9th round anyway. Let's just try this.
Yeah. That's what they went for. And
would that not be worth doing that every year with your last round pick? Just draft a guy that's like a top pick in next year's class and just see if you can get away with it on a technicality once every 10 years?
Rick Dudley was the GM. He attempted in 4 different rounds to draft Ovechkin, arguing that if leap year dates were taken out of the equation, he would turn 18 4 days before his recognized birthday and should have been eligible for 2003. The NHL rejected the Panthers all 4 times.
I like that he tried it more than once. He got denied. He tried it again. Like, what? That's funny.
Yep.
Wow, Rick Dudley.
I mean, I think you got to admire it.
I definitely admire it. That's awesome. By the way, real quick on that Bure story, part of the Bure story, he does get drafted later. I don't remember the exact reason why he was draft eligible before everybody knew he was. The Red Wings also knew that he was draft eligible, and they were about to do it in that same round. They waited till like the 8th round, and Vancouver was ahead of them, and they did it. So imagine that. You're Detroit.
And you're sitting on Pavel Bure.
And you know... the risk of, does anybody else know this? Or do you think you're the only one in the league that knows that he's draft eligible, and then somebody else takes him in the 8th round ahead of you?
That was back when Detroit was like one of the only teams scouting Russian players and just bringing in future Hall of Famers in the 6th and 7th rounds.
Yep.
All right. 803-0550, a break-in. Extra Point Show comes your way. 10 o'clock, of course. We'll keep rolling here. A question on Josh Allen's MVP odds, where he stands. We'll get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.